As Don has said, it's a great pleasure to be with you tonight, and we have been looking forward to this opportunity for a long time. Dan and David have talked to us several years ago about trying to plan this, and we are just excited to be able to be here tonight. Dr. Peggy Whiting said that loss is any experience across the lifespan from beginning to end that demands the surrender of something personally significant and or familiar. The mistake that most individuals make in regard to grief is that they think of grief as being one thing and one thing only, the death of an individual. And they don't think about grief being caused by other kinds of losses. And so for just a few moments, I'd like for us to think about, besides obviously the death of an individual that's near and dear to us, but think about other losses that also produce grief. Or as Dr. Whiting said, that's either personally significant and or familiar. Now, if we were either had a bigger area or a smaller building, we would have a whiteboard up here. But obviously, because of where we are, that would sort of not be helpful. So let's just think about it. We're going to be brainstorming a lot. What's a loss that's significant besides? Yes, ma'am.
I totaled my first car.
I'm sorry. The totaling of a first car. Now, notice you said the first car. I'm assuming you were a young person, younger than you are now. And so therefore you had to deal with probably family members. Okay. Yeah. Any of us, believe me, we all have been there the first time we did something wrong with a vehicle and having to come home to judgment day. Okay. Exactly. And that was a loss.
It was paid off.
That was even worse. Our sister messed up because she's 3 years older. She had a wreck and messed up the vehicle that Dad had let her use. And she came home and she was she was bawling her eyes out. Now Don and I had not yet started driving yet, but we just said, yeah, she's just putting on an act is all she's doing, you know. And of course, Dad and Mom forgave her. I think she did have to pay for the damages because they weren't enough to go claim it. But you know, that was a loss. Probably, you know, particularly a loss of money or income, but also realizing what you're going to do about now that I don't have anything to drive. So that's and you know what, that's never been on my list. So I'm going to add that one on my list because that's a good one. Yes, sir. You were saying your first bicycle. Okay, well we're getting historical here, aren't we? First bicycle, marriage or divorce. Yeah, because anytime there's a divorce, regardless of what the circumstances are, there are two people that have dissolved a relationship that will affect everybody connected to them. And it's just like throwing a little pebble in a pond and watching the circle get bigger and bigger and bigger. I had a dear Christian friend tell me one day, and she was as serious as you can imagine. She said, I would give anything, after she had been divorced from her husband who had been unfaithful to her. He refused counseling. He refused to change. She divorced him. She said, I would give anything to go visit my ex's grave. Now, she did not mean that she was going to do something to get him in that grave. Okay, but what she meant was, instead of, I have no closure. That's what she was talking about. There's someone out there that I used to be attached to that is living a terrible life, that is still bringing reproach on me and the beliefs that I have in God and the church, and said it's making a mockery of everything that I lived for and stood for. And she was very serious about that situation. And so let's be sure that we understand that anytime there's a divorce situation, regardless of what the circumstances are, but particularly if you're involved in doing the right thing, biblically speaking, I said this years ago, divorce is like having a funeral with an open casket that never gets closed. Think about that. And if you know someone that's gone through a divorce, or if you know someone that's a family member of someone, please try to be kind and understand to them, regardless of whatever else is involved in. Just remember, that's a heavy duty situation. Yes, ma'am. Loss of health. We take it for granted, don't we? We take it for granted we can do anything and everything, and then something happens, either through a wreck or through tumor or some other situation, and all of a sudden, or gradually, we cannot do the things that we used to do. And the inability to be able to function is a tremendous challenge. And it takes upon a role of itself in regard to all the things involved in those losses. Don and I both have had knee replacement surgeries. I never was sympathetic to someone with a walker until I had to get on one. And guess what? I have all kinds of respect for anybody, because I've been there, done that. You know, and I was able to get out of it, get away from it. But seriously, and I never thought anything about someone parking in a handicapped parking space that didn't belong there until I had surgery. And I had to understand, man, there's no places there. Look at that person walking on their legs, and they're not, you know, you just want to go up there and let them have it. You know. So health issues. Yes, sir, you were saying. Yeah. A loss of a pet. A loss of a pet. Dan, have you ever written a sympathy note to a little kid who's lost a dog or a cat? I have. I did. I mean, now I had to be careful what I said. But that child that came up to me bawling their eyes out at church because little kitty cat is no longer around, I needed to be sympathetic to them, because to them that was their life. In Bridgeport, Alabama, years ago at a grief workshop, a man came up to me, big old strapping guy, and we had been talking about this very thing, and he said, and he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Preacher, I had to put my horse down this past year," and said, these were his phrases, it about killed me. I said, "Tell me about your horse." He told me its name. He said, "That horse, not only was the horse that I worked my farm with, but it was the horse that my kids rode on, my grandkids wore on. It was the horse that it was a part of our family." And so when I realized all those, you know, when I said I had to make that decision, it's time to put them down, it almost killed me. Yes, sir. Sound like you were rather lucky to not have it worse. Other kinds of losses. Yes, sir. Exactly. And it happens all over the United States with consolidation and money or lack thereof. And those small community schools not only taught education, but they were the surrounding place that everyone came to for different events. And so that's a terrible thing. Yes, ma'am. Right. You know, natural disasters in regard to, and again, what do those things do? They destroy houses, they destroy homes, and you meet with people, or you see it on CNN, or you see it in local stations and whatever, and people are talking, well, they're just things, but think about it. That house may have been the house that you built with your own hands. You certainly paid for it with blood, sweat, and tears. And so it's not just the structure itself, it's what was inside. It's what you did in that home, in that house, that made it so tremendously important. And so when someone finds something destroyed, then it's not only just a thing, but it's life. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah, talking about being robbed or someone, and we can relate to that. We were in South Alabama, someone went in and broke in and took things from our house when we were gone to Six Flags. Remember Six Flags over Six Flags over Atlanta when they used to have Church Christ Day? That we were there for that, and someone came in and broke in, and that's exactly what we felt like. We'd just been violated. Because, and again, it was just things, but it was our things. It was our house. So that person was not, they didn't belong there. Yes?
Loss of a job.
Loss of a job, exactly. In our economy today, I mean, think about all the different things that people have and all the jobs and all the security that you have. And then all of a sudden someone said, well, and this happened in Huntsville, Alabama, where we have Red Center Arsenal. We've had people that have been told, we'd like to thank you for your 30 years of faithful service. We're consolidating, and therefore your job is no longer, your services are no longer needed. You have the next 2 hours to clean out your locker. This security guard will be following you to the gates, and here's your severance pay. Now think about everyone that's going to be affected by the loss of that one job. He will, his wife will, the kids will, the grandchildren will be affected. The church will be affected in regard to not only someone looking for a job, but also they no longer can give contribution to the church. Their own feelings of security, their own feelings of self-confidence and worth. I mean, all kinds of things are happening. And it occurs in our world today. Yes, sir. Financial ruin. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we know money's money, but we work for it. And therefore, when we lose it, or when the stock market decides to crash, or when an investor or financial advisor makes a bad decision that, you know, we put confidence in, that loss of money is great. It is. Yes, sir. Okay. And that's one of my apostasy, or someone in this case, someone that just refuses to become what they know that they need to become. Think about it. Okay. When some church member, and I'm sure that it happens here just like it happens at the Lincoln congregation when I preach in Huntsville, Alabama, who is affected by that person leaving the church? And the answer is everybody. Because the church is only as strong as its weakest member. And therefore, when that person decides to leave, either gradually or just, I'm out of here, I'm going somewhere else, I'm going to a community church, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to do that. Everybody's affected by that, or someone that knows the truth and yet they refuse to live it. They refuse to obey it. And that hurts everyone. That's a discouragement to everyone who's trying to do what's right. Exactly. You're exactly right. The loss of life as we knew it before the pandemic. Exactly. And it's been a tremendous loss. I mean, think about all the different things, and we'll say more about this in the next few days. But think about all the adjustments, all the changes, all the things we had to do because it was decided, particularly in March of 2020, okay, the best thing we're going to do is shut down the economy for the most part. And yes, if I remember correctly, Disney World shut down too in Florida. And everybody go home. And let's just see what happens. And again, and I'm not trying to get political. Or I'm not trying to get to, because I would have hated to have been in those the governor's shoes or the mayor's shoes or anybody else. But you know, we all had to figure out, what are we going to do now? How are we going to live? Can we work from home? Do I want to work from home? My wife got a lot of grief because I took over her art room upstairs, and I worked from home doing the church work for a period of months. Now, it was very convenient to go eat lunch, but the problem was I never left the house, and she was used to sort of me not being around there all the time. You ladies understand what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, and the kids couldn't go to school, and mom and dad had to take over the training for a period of time, and or at least they did in Alabama. And thankfully my wife's was a retired school teacher, so she had no problems in teaching the grandkids. But a lot of other folks were saying, I don't know how to do this. And then even so, why should I be doing this? Think about that. And you're wondering why people got more depressed. You're wondering why people got more angry. You wonder why there were more domestic fights and arguments and all kinds of stuff, even to this point in time. You wonder why some folks just said, I'm out of here. All kinds of losses. Yes, ma'am. Even with a promotion or a new job, comes the loss of what you used to be able to do. So that's the point I'm trying to make. Anything that's significant, anything that's important, that changes becomes a loss. Now, let me just throw out, I've got a list of 45 or 50 of them. Loss of credibility, loss of purity of child, loss of a part of a body. Think about it, either in an accident or in regard to cancer, or in regard to some other situation, you lose either selectively or it's taken from you in regard to the surgery they have to do to remove the cancer or whatever they're going to do, and therefore you're having to deal with a loss of a part of a body that you used to have. And it's not just a female situation, but very much so in their regard in regard to certain kinds of cancers. Loss in pregnancy or miscarriage. Think about that. Back last January when I did the last grief class that we were able to do, or grief program we were able to do, a lady came up to me and said, I lost my first child in pregnancy or miscarriage, and I lost the dream of having a baby. I lost the dream of having showers for my baby, of being able to celebrate a new life with my husband, with my mother, my dad, my in-laws. I said, I suffered all kinds of losses that I can't even still think about. And you're thinking, and sometimes it's said, you know, it was just a miscarriage. And I know this because of personal experience, three times in our life together as man and wife. And the third time it happened, the OBGYN that did the DNC popped his head in the door to my wife's room when I was there and said, I know you want to know why this is happening. We don't really know. But said, my advice And these are the last words he said before he left. No pain, no gain. And out he went. And I could not, and it, I was in shock. And about 60 miles down the road, as we were going back to where we lived and where I was preaching, I turned to my wife and I said, did he say what I think he said? And she said, yeah. I said, what did you, what happened to you? She said, I wondered if his wife felt that way with having children. We got to be careful. You see, a loss is a loss. Regardless of how insignificant it or unimportant it may be to other people, to you, it is just, I mean, you know, regardless of whether there's a casket there or whether you're not able to do that, it's a loss. And we need to validate that. Moving is a loss. Think about that. You move if you move from Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, to Huntsville, Alabama, folks, you're going to have, whoa, what have I just done? Because Huntsville, Alabama is a lot different from West Palm. We don't have all these trees. We got other stuff. You know, we got a space and rocket center there. You know, so we feel somewhat connected to you folks down here and around Cape Kennedy, Cape Canaveral, or whatever it's called now. You know, but it's, you know, it's different. A move. Retirement. Now you're saying, how in the world can a retirement be a loss? If it's the husband retiring, ask his wife. And you ladies know what I'm talking about. Because this, you know, okay, I know we got married a long time ago, but I've been used to you being gone and now you're home. And what is that going to mean? Mental illness. Separation, extended separation, folks in military. Think about the losses every time their husband or their wife leaves to go on duty somewhere either close by or across the way. Think about that. And what all that, and not just the wife or the husband, but the kids and everybody else involved in that situation. Someone said, loss of control of my life during pandemic. And we could think about that one for a long, long, long time. Any others that come to mind? Yeah. Friendship. You know, we're social beings. God made us that way. And when we lose a friendship, for whatever reason, particularly if it's a bad situation that happens, it cuts us to the core. It makes us doubt ourselves. It makes us wonder if we ever want to have friends like that ever again. I teach cancer support classes, and I actually knew of an individual that was told by a friend once they learned of their diagnosis, I'm sorry, we can no longer be friends anymore. I can't handle any drama, more drama in my life. And the lady left. Can you just imagine being told that for a person that's just been diagnosed with a debilitating form of cancer? Now, the lady did admit later on, she said, you know what, with friends like that, good. I really didn't need that kind of negativity anymore in my life. But she said for them to say it that way cut me to the heart. Abortion, rape, infertility, war, terrorism. That's a loss. 9/11, but also the possibility of such. PTSD, incarceration. You mentioned the loss of a bird, loss of pets, and think about how special those pets are. We grew up with a dachshund dog named Heidi. And Heidi was smarter than Cindy and Don and I combined. I mean, that dog was really, really smart. Because when we got her, we all got married and were able to take Heidi with us for periods of time and bring them back to Mom and Dad's house. The night when Dad called me and Bonnie, Don and Lisa, and Cindy and Philip where we were living and told us, I'm sorry, but Dr. Jordan had to put down Heidi because of her debility. There were 8 adults bawling their eyes out. Just a dog? No, much more than that, a part of our life. Yes, ma'am, someone had a hand over. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. What she was saying was that she was dealing with her brother that was sick with cancer, and that while before he died, she was taking pictures of him, and it was really debilitating after he died because of seeing those pictures, and her husband took the pictures out because she said that did not help her in her grief situation, but yet there was a plant that was giving, I guess, in his honor at the funeral, and that plant has become a very significant part of her life because that reminds her of what her brother meant to her. Well, the point that I'm trying to make is grief is not just one thing, the death. It is all these other things. Anything significant or familiar is a loss that we have to deal with. Now, turn the page. Grief. Mr. Webster says it's an individual experience. Generally, a painful feeling of sadness that usually follows an actual loss or precedes an anticipated loss. Now, that's a great Webster's Dictionary idea, a definition of grief, but we want to do more with that. So here's what we want to do. Using the word grief, an acrostic, we want to take words that remind us of what grief is, starting with each one of those letters. Anything that has anything to do with grief, for example, G. Think of a word that starts with the letter G, antonym, synonym, homonym, that has something to do with grief that starts with the letter G.
Grandma.
Exactly. Granddad. Because you see, all those things remind us of what loss we used to have. Exactly. And lady, you're good. I don't have grandma on here again. I got to add grandma to that one. So that's a good one. All right. Another one. Letter G.
Gone.
And that means all. That can mean, that has several kinds of meanings. They're gone. The memory's gone. The situation is gone. I mean, that can mean all kinds of different things. Other words. I'm sorry, what?
Good memories.
Good memories. And you see, good memories are what everything in life is based upon relationships. Relationship with us and God. Relationships with us to each other. Relationships in the church. Relationships with Christ. And I know it seems archaic and very old-fashioned to say, well, in the good old days, but you know, when you go back to those good memories of loved ones and family members and what they meant to us, you wouldn't take $1 million for them because that's what life was and still is all about. Letter G, what else? I'm sorry, what? Guilt. Why do we feel guilty when it comes to grief? And we could spend the rest of the night talking about that, just answering that question. Guilt. There's alleged guilt. There's presupposed guilt. There's all kinds of guilt that people have. I remember a lady telling me one time that she said, I feel so guilty in regard to my dad's death. I said, explain, do you mind explaining? She said, we were all taking turns being with my dad who's dealing with cancer, and said it had been my week to be with my dad and my mom, helping her out, and said I was there for a whole week, but then I left to go back to my family a couple hundred miles away. One of my siblings came back to be with him and said he died there during that time, and I feel so guilty. I said, ma'am, I said, "Did your daddy know that you loved him?" "Yes." I said, "You may feel guilty, but really what you've just told me is how much you loved your dad. You're not guilty at all, except you're guilty of love." And a lot of times in guilt, that's exactly, there's always the would've, should've, could've, you know, always going to be that situation. But, you know, we try to do the best we can do with what we've got. And we've got to accept that. We've got to understand that. And we've got to realize that as we deal with situations. Yes, ma'am, you had your hand up. Good. I was hoping someone was going to say God. God comforts, God understands, God provides, God perseveres, God is faithful. I mean, you know, think about it. How could you ever take God out of grief in regard to, I mean, He's in everything. Seriously. And so therefore, when we understand that, it's going to make a tremendous difference in the way we look at not only ourselves, but also the circumstances that we're involved in. Now, that's not going to take away the grief. It's not. But it sure does make it all different when we deal with the idea of God there. Other words with the letter G.
Gravity.
I'm sorry, what?
Gravity.
What do you mean by that? Okay. Are you saying gravity? Reaching down to, okay, that's a new one. I need to add that to my list too. You know, and when I think about gravity, I think about realizing this is where I am dealing with here right now. This is where I've got to be at this point in time in regard to my situation. What else?
Grave.
Yeah, and that's got a double meaning. Things are really serious. But typically there's a grave involved sometimes. Yes, sir?
Gloom.
Yeah. Go back to that question. David's had a lot of grief losses, and I go up to Dave, and David, and I said, "David, how are you doing?" David says, "I'm fine." And he's not fine because he had just realized yet again in the situation of where he is with the loss that he may have dealt with, how gloomy life looks. Have you ever thought about how difficult it is when someone loses a mate and they come back to the church building for the first time, and how difficult that is? In our congregation, we lost 3 families. Because they could not, when they walked in the door, the first thing they did is they saw their grandfather, their father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, and where he lived or where he sat in that corner of the building, and they just could not worship. They tried everything. The elders talked to them. They finally said, look, we don't like to do this, but said, you probably need to go worship somewhere else. Because you can't get beyond this, and that your loved one would want you to worship God. But the point I want to make is, when someone walks in, we need to be there for them. We need to help them. We can't take the place. We can't be the substitute for that person that they love that's no longer there or no longer here. But we can help them and understand just how important that they're being here with God's people that love them, that care for them, that support them, that want the very best for them. In this case, the family all went together as a unit and they went somewhere else and they're doing fine where they are. But for the most part, I like going back to the same place because that's where people are that we all know and love. Okay, we could give you all kinds of other letters. Let's go to the letter R. Something that starts with the letter R, dealing with grief. Remembrance. Exactly. What else?
Regret.
There's always going to be regret. Why? Because we aren't perfect individuals. And we're not going to always do it the right way or say the right things or do the right things. There's going to be regret there from time to time. What else? Reality. This is real. This is where we are right here, right now. This is real. Reality. What else? Relief. Thank you. Excellent. Our release. Because there's can be, you know, there is a better place to go to from this world that's called eternity when they're right with God. And so therefore there is some relief involved in that situation, even though there's still grief involved. What else? Relationships, going back to that again. Excellent. What else? Realization. Realization of all kinds of things. Let me just throw out a few. Rage, remorse, reaching, rest, ripping, reality. One individual said, run. I wanted to run away from my grief. And they said, I can't do that. Refusal. Someone brought up resurrection. That's a great one, isn't it? Because of the power of Christ and resurrection. The letter I. Important. Dealing with grief is important. Far more important than most folks realize. Inconceivable. This just can't be happening. When it comes to grief situations, particularly that are non-anticipated, it's just, we just can't, you know, I mean, think about it. 9/11, every one of us saw what we saw on television, and we were just, this can't be happening. This just can't be going on. And that's the way people feel sometimes when they're dealing with a great, terrible situation of grief. Isolated, or isolation, which is what we've been doing for the past 18, 19 months in regard to a pandemic, isolation, and wondering why people weren't doing too well because they were isolated and no one else came to check on them and they couldn't because of certain criteria and such things. Isolation. And there's that, inevitable. Sir?
Inevitable.
There's one. That's a great one.
Incomplete.
I feel incomplete now because of what's happening to me. Irritable. Individual. Remember that one, because grief is always an individual experience. One lady told me one time, grief has made me feel insane. We'll say more about that tomorrow night. Insidious, impossible, interference, impatient, irreversible, inadequate, inept, introverted. This is what one lady said a couple years ago, Italy. And I thought, Italy? And then she said, our plans when he retired was to go to Italy. He died. And it was not the as great as that and as beautiful as that country is, it's what she was unable to do because she couldn't go there because he was no longer there. The letter E. Emotional. What else?
Everlasting.
Everlasting.
Everything.
Everything. Thank you, sir, for saying that.
Emptiness.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, right here. Yeah, you. Ma'am, I'm sorry. Boy, I need my glasses on. I'm sorry, ma'am. Okay. All right. What else? Empty, endless, escape, exiled, exposed, erratic, eating alone, enough, everlasting, envy. Think about that one in regard to grief. Envy. Why is all this happening to me? I wish it was that. Oh, I just, you know, I mean, you see the point? Then the letter F.
Final.
Thank you. What else?
Faith.
Fearful.
Frustrations.
What about future? What about funeral? What about forgiveness? What about fear? Finances, losing your fortune, losing your investments. What am I going to do about finances? One lady told me, I feel so much like a failure. Family. Fretful.
Friends.
Faithful. Someone said, I feel like a fake. They ask me, how am I doing? I say, I'm fine. And I'm not. If only they knew. Flowers. Frustrating. Fatherless. Motherless. Frozen. Okay, here's what we've done. In just about 20 minutes, we've taken grief and we've expanded it to be all these things that you've got on your list and that I have on my list. And it'd be well and good if grief was only, you know, pick one or two of them, but it's so much more than that. And that's the point. That's why we're so debilitated when it comes to grief. That's why we have frustrations. That's why we don't feel good. That's why we wonder about our relationship with God and Christ and the church. That's why we can't sleep at night. That's why we can sleep. That's all we can do is sleep all the time. You see the point? All these things tell us what grief is and remind us of what grief is. And what's different for me will be different for you because we're all individuals. So the point that we're trying to make tonight is besides what Don dealt with in regard to the questions and walking alone is, okay, loss causes grief. And grief is far more than just one kind of feeling. And that's what we wanted to nail down this evening. Now, tomorrow night, we're going to talk about what everybody needs to know about grief. And I know you have it in front of you. You have the outline in front of you. I told David several months ago, we're old-fashioned. I know we could have put this on the screen, on PowerPoint and other such things, but we wanted paper copies in people's hands so they can take this home and you can look at it for yourself and you can share it with others and you can look and say, oh yeah, I remember that point and this is what I wrote about it. And that's why we've done these workshops in this particular kind of way. I can't thank you enough by being here. Here's what I want you to do. Look around to someone that you invited that's not here. And if you benefited, you may have not enjoyed this because this is a heavy-duty subject. But if you benefited from this tonight, call them tomorrow and remind them, hey, it's not what you thought it is. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It's helpful. I think I know the answer to this question, but let me ask it. Has anyone in this entire audience ever taken an educational class on grief? You have. An educational class. You have. That's great. Most of us learn grief in one way and one way only. We experience it. The more we know, the better equipped we will be. And that's why we're here, and that's why these wonderful elders and this congregation and the ministers invited us to come. So we want to be of help during our time. After our class is over with, if you have anything that you'd like to talk about, we'd love to do so. Thank you so much, David. I'll turn it over to you.